radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Sterling.
And this is not.
No, you are not. You are Paul Strolley.
And this is State of the Art. So we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
Our thanks also, Paul, goes out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. PerformingArtsLive.com is the most comprehensive such listing service in Southern California, enabling you to search events by date, category, and region.
And coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with a performer whose diverse career has encompassed just about every aspect of show business, as well as defining the entrepreneurial spirit. Joining us in studio today, Rex Smith with us.
I was still dancing to the intro music. Sorry, I was like just getting into it.
You didn't see this whole crowd that's applauding?
I know, I love it. Thank you. Very good, very good. Great to be here.
And not to be outdone, another performer who defies definition, singer, comedian, actor, impressionist, dessert topping, and floor wax,
and
Mr. Perry Lambert.
Thank you so much. I'm also a part-time chiropodist.
Ah, that's a foot scraper,
that
isn't it?
That is right. That
you know,
is right.
That's a wasted youth that I knew what a chiropodist was.
Yeah, well.
Do you recycle your scrapings?
Oh, when do I tell you? Well, when you have size 14 feet, there's a lot to recycle. Let me tell you that. I did get my first pedicure, though, and what a job that was.
You did?
Yes,
well,
I did.
What do you mean, what a job that was?
Well, you know, it's very unnerving when you go in, because I was doing this, I did this short film, and I knew my hands were going to be seen, so I had my manicure done.
Right.
And which I have rarely done. But when I unleash the gunboat feet in public, it has to be a special event because I do have size 14 feet that are basically flesh-covered toboggans.
And then a 14, size 14, 5-inch stacked heel.
Right. It starts to chafe. It starts to chafe after a while.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of moleskin.
And did you have a happy ending on that?
No. So anyway...
Oh.
So I went and I went in and it's a very unnerving thing to having a manicure and realizing halfway through that the woman who's performing the manicure is missing three of her own fingernails.
Oh, wow.
And that's not really something you want to see in a manicurist.
Yeah, it's not really.
I've never seen
good
what's a missing fingernail look like. You mean it's a nub there?
There was nothing. There was nothing at the end of three of the fingers, which is very unsettling when someone's working on your nails and they don't
is
have
that a
them.
Tribal
not really
procedure?
A good promotional. And idea, my mother was of course so supportive.
You know, Paul, that's from a fungus.
That's great. Thank you.
Fungus that's on her hand, rubbing your fingernails right now.
Exactly.
Sort of like leper leper colony nails.
Yeah. We're almost done with your feet. Let's move on to your move on to other parts of your body, sir.
How did you know?
I don't know.
Michael, how was your week before we get on
it
to
talking
about it?
It was
busy.
It was full. We had a great weekend at the nightclub at Sterling's Upstairs at Patello's, where Mr. Perry Lambert will be headlining this coming Sunday evening, by the way.
Well, I thank you.
Yes, and full of
frivolity.
Going to the theater and went to the opening of Avenue Q, which we're going to talk about later.
Yep, and you saw Avenue Q this week?
Yeah, last week.
And I saw Play Dates.
Yes, you did.
So we'll be able to review both of those.
We will, indeed.
I went to Avenue Q opening night myself.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Did you?
And I hope
did you enjoy it?
I did.
Yeah. I hope so. I thought it was amazing, actually.
Perry, have you seen that show?
Avenue Q? Yeah. Yes, and I am not wearing any underwear today.
Oh, that's a strange segue.
Well, that's from the show.
Oh, it is. Okay, good. I'm so glad that didn't.
Yeah, just wanted to let everybody know.
You
may not be aware of that.
Thank you.
For those of us, a lot of people got nervous, put their hands over their children's headphones.
For those of us,
oh my, I think.
For those of us that aren't familiar with the show, that's quite a start.
Well, I'm not wearing socks today, so that's what. Right. Any other articles?
We were going to make you all swear in about one thing today.
Oh, can I do it?
Sure.
Okay, everyone in the studio, if you would raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. name?
I, Michael Sterling.
No, not that joke.
I can't resist.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That for the next 48 minutes.
That's for the next 48 minutes?
And we will not mention anything about Charlie Sheen.
We will not mention anything about Charlie Sheen.
But we just did. Thank you. We'll get it out of the way. Because if anyone does, I will provide the following sound effect.
Is that like the Scottish play now? You just don't even say that.
Exactly.
You can't say what you're not
It is. Mention. It's the Scottish play.
Yes, but it'd be Charlie O'Sheen.
Yes.
That's the Irish play.
That'd be the Irish, yeah.
Well, the one thing that we will say is that
it'd be
apparently.
Charlie McSheen.
Charlie McSheen.
Charlie McSheen. We've managed to talk about. We can't talk about the Scottish play, but we can talk about Charlie McSheen.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Mr. McSheen was officially fired today by Paramount.
I thought he fired them earlier.
You're not honoring the...
No, I know. I'm just saying...
Push your wham-wham button. Might as well warm it up.
That's it.
Actually, this is probably a little more fitting for him, I think.
Yes!
Totally not. It's awesome.
We have these just... Well, we have four sound effects, so we have to use them.
And I think
we've
only
used
four.
All four. No, we got one more.
Let's hear it. There you go.
Okay, let's begin with our first guest, shall we, Michael? Do you want to give the intro to the first in studio with us today?
I will indeed.
You're being graded on this.
As promised, our first guest is a multi-talented performer whose natural singing ability has led him to a successful career as a singer and actor, starting his career as a teen idol heartthrob with the platinum album hit You Take My Breath Away to Broadway and beyond. He's captivated both critics and audiences and is busier now than ever before. Please welcome Mr. Rex Smith.
There you go. That's great. And I love the way the audience, they've kind of faded out. They're yes. such a well-trained audience.
They are trained
there.
So well to
you
stop applauding.
Give them little treats in between things, like doggy treats. Yeah.
And
have to wear these pouches.
Busy you are, sir, in The Cradle Will Rock.
Yes.
At the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood, which I had... the pleasure of seeing very recently at your performance and by the Blank Theater Company, one of the great theater companies in town.
Noah Wiley's group, right?
It is.
Yes.
And Daniel Henning.
Daniel Henning, yes.
Daniel, who also directed the show and kind of harkens back to another time when it was, I think it's one of Daniel's favorite shows, actually. Is that right,
I don't know his canon, but this is
He wanted to bring this back 20 years later.
Yes, and when we began this, we were all talking about, know your history or be... forced to repeat it, and I didn't know that we'd be living in that history right now. So it's as timely as it was in 1937 right now. We want to go to Wisconsin and do this show.
Yeah. Well, I know Mark Blitzstein, this is a musical, ladies and gentlemen, and it sounds like the new millennium, as Rex just was saying, in 1937, Mr. Blitzstein's musical called These Issues into question with his scathing satire of greed, corruption, and politics in the United States. As press notes here say, so scandalous, in fact, that The Cradle Will Rock, that the U.S. government tried to shut it down.
They did opening night. They padlocked the theater.
There was a film
about the making
with
of it.
With John Turturro and...
It was not the play. It was, the characters, Orson Welles, John Houseman, that the group. This was the genesis of the Mercury Theater, which brought us,
War
of the Worlds, thank you. Yeah. Many other great efforts. At that time, the WPA, was paying for bridges, roads, theater works, and that sort of thing. So the government felt it had a fiduciary duty to shut it down. It was quite virulent in its expose of corruption and such. And it fits right in like a glove right now. I mean, it's like it's like the glass slipper. It fits perfect.
How long is it running, Michael?
It runs running through March 20th, actually.
Okay. It's Thursday, and Friday, Saturday nights.
Okay.
At 8. And
I want very much
Sunday
to... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rex, but we may be talking about the same thing I'm going to say, because I want to make sure that this information gets out early on, and we will repeat it, of course, at the end of the hour. Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, and Sundays at 2 through March 20th. Tickets may be purchased by calling 323-661-9827. That's 323-661-9827, or online at www.theblank.com. www.theblank.com. Not that we have to end the discussion about it, but I wanted to make sure
Thank
we get
you.
That
yeah,
information.
Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Kind of beat you to that. I'm sorry. I mean, it was a photo finish.
It's okay.
I'll be careful about where I go with this conversation.
I'm getting
kicked under the
Rex,
radio broadcast
I give the
table.
Website.
Yeah.
Well, it was such a pleasure to see you in this environment, first of all, because the last time I had seen you actually in theater was in New York when you were doing Grand Hotel. So it's been a while ago. And that was a fantastic experience. But now you have the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to see Rex up close and personal in a very highly stylized musical with such an interesting storyline and interesting performances, beautiful performances, actually, by an ensemble cast that includes Lo Taylor and David Trice. Is it Trice? Do you say Trice?
Trice.
Okay. Peter Van Norden, Matt Walpe, Adam Wiley from Picket Fences on television, if you remember young Adam, and Penelope Yates as well.
And you spoke very highly of it last week. You
Absolutely. It last week. And I enjoyed it very much. It was a very, very different, interesting evening in the theater.
There's not, 30-piece orchestra and the costume and the attendant, pomp and ceremony of a lot of shows that it's quite refreshing for. There's 19, the range of young to Peter and I, actors, and they are all there for the craft and journey, and it's really pure water of artistic effort there, without, like I say, the trappings. So it's really not raw theater, but it's pretty naked in terms of content is really right on the mark, and presentation is really, it's something different. Small, 99 seat theater, 100 people, whatever night. But
that's at the Stella Adler, right?
I must say about the Stella Adler, though, it's one of the great smaller theaters
in town.
You don't feel like you're,
the nice thing cloistered. Is because it's spread out, because it's wide, and you have that width.
True stage,
there. The venue, the stage size is larger than your 99 seaters usually are.
Exactly.
So you really get a nice big performance space.
Nice
there.
Proscenium. In that particular theater?
The blank is, I would think, I believe, the premier presenter of, they get no help for 20 years without any help from the city or anything. Right. It's all done by, Daniel is a master of gathering talent and keeping them, going on not even a shoestring. I think, in New York, you have a lot of theater companies, Shakespeare Festival being top of the pyramid. I would compare this, Daniel's efforts, to being very much the Shakespeare Festival of here, in Los Angeles.
And one of the things, too, that the blank does, which I imagine is very close to your heart, Rex, because in looking at one of the nice things about doing the show is reading the promotional material and finding out things that people are involved with that you wouldn't otherwise know about. And I know the blank does the Young Playwrights Festival every year.
Right.
And I saw through some of your material that there, when you tour, you sort of have an educational outreach thing with schools when you do Pirates.
Pirates has been a really, it was such an experience doing that. We began for free in Central Park, the Shakespeare Festival presenting Joe Papp and a wonderful cast with Linda Ronstadt and Kevin Kline, George Rose and others. That years later, I revisited, did a production of it down at the Theater West, Musical Theater West at the...
in Long Beach, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, 1,600 seat facility. Yeah. I played the Pirate King in that, and that kind of kicked it off that I have used it as a learning tool with entities, colleges and such, where it's instead of just coming to town and standing at a podium and talking about yourself, that doesn't really leave much imprint, really, on students as much as getting in, letting them rehearse and then plugging me in, and I do... my bit with them, so we really get the experience of dress rehearsal and doing a performance together, and they can walk away going they've worked with the original it was 100 years old when we did it, but original part of the movie in the Broadway show, and have that experience of a real Broadway moment to moment of getting ready for an opening night. That is the best kind of teaching that I think you could leave an imprint on some young people. I really don't believe you learn a lot just hearing someone speak their biography on a thing. It's like, okay, what do you take from it?
And that was exactly what jumped out at me from the website, because I went to Rex's website in prep for the show, and I was just like, oh, look, he tours with the show. Wait a minute. He does more than tour.
No, educational.
It's actually,
it's educational. I mean, there's, if I don't pass it on, or if I'm not able to pass it on to some young people, that's how that torch gets carried. It's like the Olympic torch. It sounds haughty or whatever to say it that way. It's not at all. It's just It's I know that there is a natural built in the DNA of us of humans as a society, whatever, there's always a percentage that are striving on their artistic effort, and to be able to open a door and also collaborate with a young person that may not have that opportunity. You know, for a lot of them, it's the in their educational process is the only time they're going to be able to touch upon that, and then their life will take another route of, you know, not being able to follow that dream. But to be part of that dream and maybe to sort of shake it up a bit for someone to make that decision to, you know, go east, young man, to go to New York and really follow their star.
What is the, I'm assuming it's rexsmith.com?
Is it is, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll make sure we get that out there. Because,
that's great.
You know, we do have a significant amount of listeners now, which we're happy about, and who knows, maybe some of them that are involved in academia will research that, because I think it's certainly worthwhile. You should be applauded
thank
for
you.
Doing it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, the show, that, or the series of concerts, I guess, that you have done in the past is called From Wrecks with Love. Is that
well, correct? There's different titles for different things. You got to put something. You got to put a bumper sticker on when you get out there. You know,
got to package it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you may be Ivory Soap every year, but you're new and improved, aren't you? I mean,
but and you refer to yourself as a stand-up vocalist. Is that right?
Well, I'm sitting down today, but I do tend to. I don't really know where shows are going to go in storytelling. So oftentimes, I try not to go off on a tangent, but I do. There's a story attached to every song I sing in some way. It's either, you know, where that song has taken me, the effect it's had around the world, or something, or how I came upon it. Mm-hmm. You know, people I've met recording it, musicians and such.
Did you ever, Rex, in your life and time of being in this business, when you were recording and as a young man and having hit records, did you ever dream that you would be on the Broadway stage at that point? Did you see your...
Well, I never dreamed I'd be playing a 99-seat theater doing the Cradle of Rock. No, I'm just... it was everything that was... Everything I realized, have realized in, you know, a 30-year career are really just the... if not, it's always moving the finish line, but it is accomplishing a goal that I set out in front of myself, you know. I was signed with, you know, what people really don't know is, I mean... On top of the other hats I've worn was originally I was signed with Columbia Records at 20 years old, and I was managed by Aerosmith's managers. I had a band called Rex. I did 6 albums in Columbia. The first two are just Rex, and they're available. It's all been re-released on Amazon and such, all my recordings. But I was opening act for Ted Nugent for 2 years. So I toured. I played Anaheim Stadium out here and the Forum and Mass Square. I played the last concert with Lynyrd Skynyrd and I opened for them, and then 3 days later, we were supposed to play Masquerade Garden, didn't do it. That's where, when I played the Garden, that's where these producers saw me, asked me to do a movie, and then I did You Take My Breath Away, and then suddenly the next day I'm a teen idol. So I'm being groomed to be Van Halen,
then it took
another turn. So I had a whole nother life of, I played every Coliseum in America in 76, 77.
And this was all pre-Take My Breath Away?
Yes.
Oh,
so
wow.
I did two
that
albums on Columbia. I was AC/DC opened for me. We toured together for like 4 weeks, whatever. They were my opening. We were playing Texas and some areas where I was popular. Just, you know, I was being groomed to be, to move into sort of the Aerosmith slot.
No, there had to be some connection like that, because I found that when I went to your website and that what is that event that Tom Hanks is that and Stephen Stills?
That was a fundraiser. We were doing at the Skirball. And I was playing with Stephen Stills, and it's just a fun... I mean, I couldn't resist. It's just a neat clip. I mean, with Stephen Stills, and you've got a good finish, and you can see we're all just playing it by ear because we had very little rehearsal, you know, just counting 4 more for the end. And then Hanks comes out in Tails, you know. And it's just a pastiche. It's fun. If you go to rexsmith.com, what opens up first thing is George Clooney.
It's the George Clooney.
Well,
yeah.
I got him his SAG card, you know.
Because he's a street hawk?
Street hawk.
Yeah,
he played my best friend on that. I think he owes me delivering pizza on every bloody, you know, Oceans 15, 16, 17. I could at least take care of my kids' insurance with that. But, you know, it's a lot hard to get through to Lake Cuomo, on the thing. But I'm sending it out here. George, you can make amends right now.
Well, oddly enough, we have him on next week.
Yeah.
We'll have a word with him.
But it's a great clip because it's Rex, and then there's Rex, and then I'm watching it, and it's like, that's Stephen Stills.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's pretty impressive, Stephen Stills. And then Tom Hanks walks out and sort of thanks them.
Well, he was going, and any other night, tonight, this would be the end of the show, but
no,
it's not.
Great.
Well, that you know, I have a 1965 Fender Pro Reverb. It's got two speakers in it. And Stephen Stills plays a little 1955 Fender Champ amp or some just one speaker. And I remember that gig. I mean, that's the only amp I had. So as I'm plugging in for the thing, his roadie came over and said, if you're louder than him, I'm pulling the plug on you. I go, well, I'm not trying to out-amp him, but I mean, that is a little teeny amplifier he's got there. He goes, that's Stephen Stills. I go, listen, you want to swap amps? No, nobody uses that amp at him. I go, well, then that's what it is. So I was under duress that whole time trying to keep it.
No, it certainly doesn't show. Certainly doesn't show.
Paul, you play a musical instrument too, don't you?
No.
I thought you'd play guitar, no?
I should play guitar because like my gunboat feet, I have hands like a tree frog.
They laughed when he sat down to play.
I have an octave and a fifth. I have 13 keys with one hand, and yet I don't play an instrument.
Yet I don't play.
And yet he knows he has an octave and a fifth.
Well, I don't say
it. Octave and a fifth, oh man.
I know.
It sounds like the new bad guy for
yes.
Spider-Man 5.
Octave and a fifth, man, is the one who had 13 children. That was the octave and a fifth, man.
Octave and a fifth, man.
Yes, right. And 13
and
children.
And almost sing in two complete keys.
And I can't. I have 13 children I can't care for. All right. Shall we move on to the live arts calendar, Michael?
We should, but let's remind everybody about one more time about The Cradle Will Rock, and it is currently on stage at the Stella Adler Theater through March 20th, and tickets may be purchased by calling 323-661-9827 or online at theblank.com.
Theblank.com, not .org. Theblank.com.
That was a nice, theblank.com.
Oh, yes. I mean, Michael,
blank, you just painted that picture. I see it's a billboard on the 405.
With Michael, it's the music between the notes.
Yes.
That's it. It's the silence between the notes that are the music. Let me kick off our live arts calendar.
Please.
But before I do, also remember RexSmith.com. Check out that website.
Yes.
Too. Great clips there and very interesting, a variety of topics there made for very interesting reading. Deaf West Theater puts its own unique spin on the classic story of a mischievous puppet, that mischievous puppet Pinocchio, who wishes to become a real live boy. Tony Award winner for Billy Elliot, Mr. Lee Hall, has created an adaptation steeped in the Italian tradition of commedia dell'arte, a form of physical comedy that lends itself perfectly to Deaf West Theater's signature award-winning combination of signed and voiced theater. Brimming with clever political subtext and sly social commentary, this comic production will appeal to young and old and will be presented in both American Sign Language and spoken English.
And
I am definitely going to check that out because I love commedia, and not enough people do it locally, and Deaf West does great work.
So I agree with you there. I agree with you there. And for more information, ladies and gentlemen, about events in our arts calendar, you can visit either stateoftheartsla.com or performingartslive.com, where you can also check out what's happening in Southern California every day of the week. And, Paul, you have a production to tell us about that you saw this.
I do have a little review before we get to Perry. I just want to tuck it in here, and I know you have one as well, Michael. But
yep.
I saw Play Dates, which was at the Theater Asylum over in Hollywood. This was written by Sam Wolfson, who wrote a very, very successful, one of the most successful off-Broadway shows called Jewtopia, and directed by Jennifer Chambers. This production features Elizabeth Bond, Crystal Marshall, Brian Monahan, and Rob Nagel. And we were talking about earlier, Michael, there are good date movies, as they say. You know, you've heard that term.
Right,
good date
sure.
Movie. This is the great date play, I think. This is a perfect thing to take for couples to go see because it all hinges on relationships, going from schoolyard crushes all the way through keeping the spark alive as a married couple. It's a very, very tightly wrapped play. It's three acts, but it's only 90 minutes, no intermission, three very vignettes, really. The Boy Meets Girl is one. Dr. Love is the second one. And the honeymoon period is the third one. Opening sequence, very, very funny. This is the Boy Meets Girl. The premise is that they're kindergarten kids, but they're speaking as adults with an adult sensibility about their kindergarten experience.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very clever. And it's a light play, but I would not call it fluff at all. Just light and themed, but very, very funny. And it's kept from being fluff because of how much the actors really commit to their work here. It's very, very sharp characterizations. There's a cast of four that I think collectively they must play a dozen different characters. A great energy that moves the play forward. I want to give special mention to Elizabeth Bond, who especially shines in the final sequence, and it is worth the price of admission, let me tell you, to see her reenact childbirth from the baby's point of view. That is really something to see. And Rob Nagel, who is Dr. Love, has the second act pretty much to himself, and he seasons it great. He's got some great audience interaction, and it's the best kind of audience interaction, because having done it myself, I don't know if either of you can attest to this, but it's a very difficult thing to involve the audience comedically and not have them feel victimized. And that's, you know, because a lot of people are apprehensive. Oh, this audience, it's not really audience participation, but, you know, it's engaging the audience. And Rob Nagel pulls it off beautifully. So he certainly deserves to be applauded for that. The production of Playdates is now extended again through April 17th at Theater Asylum, and that's 6320 Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood. Leave ample time to find parking. The only little bugaboo about the show.
Yeah, Hollywood, yeah.
It's a tough area to find parking, and they shouldn't hold the curtain for you because you can't leave the house in time. So leave time to find the parking. Tickets are at plays411.com/playdates or by calling 323-960-7784.
Sounds like a winner, Paul.
It was. Really enjoyed it.
And I was at the opening of Avenue Q at the Pantages Theater, and so was Rex, we've learned earlier here. And
Harry's not wearing underwear.
That's correct.
Dear God. And I have six words for this show, Avenue Q. One of the best musicals ever. In
really?
My opinion.
Yeah. Really?
I was counting those words.
Yeah.
You're right, it is.
Yeah. No,
It sounded like nine words because it was Michael.
I know.
It was far beyond what I expected. And I think probably, you know, with the perception of the show by someone who hasn't seen it or doesn't know very much about it, but they know the puppets are involved, they think that it's for children. So they go away from the possibility, perhaps, of taking this brilliant piece of theater in, and I say this in all due respect, it's like a little R-rated Sesame Street, yes, of course, with vocabulary lessons, and which are hilarious and over the top, you know, very lovable puppets. And it was a 2004 Tony Award-winning show for Best Musical and Best Original Score by
And wasn't it up when it won the Tony Award 2004? You said,
yeah.
Right, and it was up against like
Wicked.
It was nominated the same year as Wicked as
yes.
the one. Wow.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
So, yes, it is saying something. But, you know, with a score, including songs like It Sucks to Be Me, and If You Were Gay, and Everyone's a Little Bit Racist, and The Internet Is for Porn, you know, that in itself tells you the show is not for
and
kids.
And this is sung by R-rated puppets.
Yeah. And, you know, the beauty part of the performance is that the puppets, while they are, you know, very beautiful to look at and animated, and they're very character driven, from Kate Monster to Trekkie Monster, Rod and Nikki, and they have human pals also in the cast, one of them named Christmas Eve, who is the wife of Brian, and Gary Coleman, not, you know, I mean, as a character in the play, which is in the musical, which is awesome. But the puppeteers who are actually performing with these puppets, they, in some sort of magical way, the way this play is written, do you agree with me, Rex, that they just kind of are fused into one?
Yeah, it's not, you have the impression, well, I was first time I'd seen it, that perhaps it's just going to be Sesame Street, you know, coming
right.
out of trash cans, doing the thing.
Right.
But they actually are with the puppet in, you know, beside them, so you can kind of slide back, you know, they're performing the part while they're animating the part, so you can watch the actor at work, you can watch the puppeteer at work, you can watch the puppets themselves.
And it's not distracting. It doesn't split focus.
No, you get used to it pretty quick. You know, it's sort of, it was a little jarring. You know, at first I thought it might be jarring, but within, you know, 75 minutes, I was quite comfortable. No, I'm just kidding. Within, you know, just a couple of minutes, I got it. And it is not as, it is adult, but, you know, I couldn't help. I've got five kids. I couldn't help wishing they had a Saturday matinee that, because kids would just go, you know, but it brings out the child within all of us. It hits a lot of buttons right on the, you know, just really hits it expertly. I thought the staging was incredible too, just the use of the set and stuff. Not to talk about set stuff,
and
but
the screens,
the technical aspects and everything was very much today, and for audiences that are used to multimedia and that sort of thing, you're getting multimedia with actual sort of analog multimedia with the puppets and such. But the audience delighted in it. They did on all the...
Oh, wow.
Perry, did you see the local production, or did you see it in New York? Or?
No, I saw the one in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
The truncated version.
The truncated version.
Yeah, yes. What do they shrink that down to? Like, to
I am not
probably
wearing
90 minutes
underwear.
they cut the songs. I am not wearing. Yeah, and then they just go to.
But
the next
in
song.
That case, truncated is spelled.
I thought maybe it'd be 12 showgirls going. I'm not wearing underwear, and that would have been.
Well, that would be a given.
Yeah. Well, you know, I must say that the very compact cast of seven really ignites this material and. Handling two contrasting roles with lovely vocalizations, I might add, Paul. Puppeteer Ashley Eileen Bucknum, excuse me, is the sympathetic Kate Monster, as well as her puppet nemesis Lucy the Slut, who successfully makes a play for Princeton, who's the lead male puppet for his affections. And to that, David Colston Chorus is a standout in performing the role of Princeton, and Wandering Rod is also another one of his
Wandering
characters.
Wandering Rod.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Michael, what would you say, having seen it, actually any of you have seen it, what would you say the age break is? Like, could a 13-year-old see it and be cool with it? Is 13 a little young?
I think it's still a little young.
Yeah?
It's adult, but not adult in a gross right. sense. It's no. just an adult sensibility that... Yeah, especially, you know, porn is, and it's just done so, the audience just roars at it because it hits, you know, it's the unspoken truth of the internet. But it is, it resolves, the story resolves itself in a childlike manner with adult themes. But I sat there wishing, going, I wish they did a Saturday matinee of, you know, because, you know, it's a drag to be me. Could be, I mean, I think a 13-year-old can handle that thing. I'm not saying, but I don't think the 13-year-old breaks quite there. I don't want to say because I don't want to hurt or harm any theater
right.
effort.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Well, I must say that if any of you listening have a chance to go see this amazing musical, please do, and it's currently on tour, on its U.S. tour, and you can find out what city it's coming to and how to purchase tickets by simply going to their website, which is avenueqontour.com. And I believe it has dates up right now through the end of April. So once again, avenueqontour.com. You won't regret it.
Okay, sounds like a really entertaining evening. Yeah. Our next guest is an accomplished, multi-talented singer, actor, comedian, composer, and impressionist who has shared the stage with a list of showbiz legends, including Bob Hope, Liza Minnelli, Cheetah Rivera, and Tony Bennett. Shame you couldn't get any names there, Perry, to name a few. You can see him live. You can see him live this Sunday, but you can hear him right now. Welcome, Perry Lambert.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So now you're playing.
And
this.
The audience left. They just ran out the door.
Yeah. Wait, no, there's one left.
It's like Dr. No. They push a button and the seats just drop them into a pit.
Mr. Bond.
Sometimes they don't listen.
Right.
So, Perry, you're playing this venue that I've heard tell of before. It's
Sterling's
upstairs at Vitello's.
Vitello's.
Yes. Now, what's this fly-by-night dump? Do you know anything about it?
I hope it lasts.
What's it last, Michael? You're fourth year now or third?
We're heading into 5 years.
Five.
5 years with the number one supper club in Los Angeles for presenting the best of Broadway performers in concert and nightclub
artists. See the way he tucked that in? Did you catch that?
Like Perry.
I did not know that. That is wild stuff.
Yeah. So Perry offers up something a little different for us this weekend, which we're very excited about him bringing in all of his characters.
It is a little different. Tell us what people can expect at the show, Perry.
Well, it's a throwback to the, like, 1950s, supper clubs back in in Vegas, you know, when the Rat Pack was there and Danny Thomas and we're going way back, I'm bringing in a four piece. I'm having piano vibes and drum, so it gives it a little jazzy cocktail kind of flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm kind of trying to be the multi-talented person, like a Sammy Davis man, you know, just sing and do some comedy and then impressions and then wait to see what happens. And the party usually starts, the audience gets involved, and then it's a lot of fun. I've been doing it for quite a while. Actually, the first time I ever did my act here in town was at the Gardenia Club,
mm-hmm.
Tom Rollins Club, back in 19.
It's still around.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Do you? I mean, are you in song? Are you Sammy Davis in song and such?
Yeah, or I actually do. I have my little Rat Pack medley that I do.
Okay.
Mm. And we take everybody on a trip back to the Sands Hotel back in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And so I present the Rat Pack, Frank, Sammy, and Dean, and I come out and I do all three of them, and then I end up doing all three of them at the end in the big massive medley that I have put together.
You know, I'm always curious about people who do impressions because it's such a particular gift, and I'm always curious that, you know, obviously in performance it benefits you because that's what people are looking at, but do you ever find that being good at impressions helps you at any other aspect of your life or like phone calls or anything?
Well, actually, you know, a couple of weeks ago I had a thing where I asked my girlfriend, I said, do you think it'd be okay if we could, you know, like, change things up, maybe do a little role playing, and she said, "Oh yeah, I think we could get into a little role playing." And I said, "Well, how would you feel about dominating a really powerful man?" And she said, "Oh, I think I could get into dominating a really powerful man."
Did I open a Pandora's box?
Wait, don't stop him now.
And I said, "Okay, mommy, tear off those clothes." And she was like, "No."
But the bombing starts in 5 minutes, Mrs. Gorbachev.
No, not Reagan. Oh, okay. Or Laura, I've been a naughty boy. Don't you want to spank me and make me clear the brush? And she's like, no, not what I had in mind. And then I realized I was like doing it all wrong. I was okay. So stupid.
And it turns out that what is her political bent?
She's a Democrat.
There you go. Right.
What I could do to you. Ask what you could do to me with vigor.
Well, my wife kind of likes a little bit of water brain insurance. It's the wrong thing you're doing, your boy.
Yeah.
I've been like a father to you.
Yeah, we could be dueling water brain. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Cookie. Get over here, Cookie.
See, now the dreams are going to start again.
Start coming, yeah.
Please, I'm going to have a dream tonight about Walter Brennan.
Dr. Tracy, you had no idea, did you?
Oh, yeah,
no
she did.
No idea.
There was what was it? Dana Carvey said that he used to do. He said, you know, a comedian always, you know, you evaluate your best bit by how much it makes other comedians laugh because they're so jaded because they've heard everything.
Because comedians usually go, they'll hear the joke and they go, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, keep
but
that.
But they don't laugh. Keep that in there.
And Dana Carvey said he used to do a bit of. Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas having sex that had John Lovitz hyperventilating in a parking garage.
Wait a minute. I have to ask you, isn't it getting tougher and tougher to find a good voice? You've got Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster and all of those. All these voices were individual, Walter Brennan, John Wayne, whatever, that... How do you imitate, you know, you could do Paris Hilton meets, I don't know,
right.
Take
how do you
pick.
How do you do
there's
George
no,
it's Clooney?
For example, here's a good example. I love Tom Hanks, but there's nothing very distinctive about Tom Hanks' voice unless you do Forrest Gump.
Right. Or Woody.
Or Woody.
I mean, Woody would kind of do it, but I see what you're saying. There's just not that regional thing. We've all become sort of Canadian broadcasters. I mean, it's just the dialects and such drained out.
The reason for that was television. Television was the great homogenizer. I mean, before the 50s, before television hit,
Humphrey Bogart.
You know, a kid who went to school in California did not know what a kid in New York sounded like or how they dressed or whatever. And then TV just sort of, you know, milquetoasted everything. And I mean, because, you know, you're like the point that you made, Rex, you know, what's it, you know, you listen to Robert Downey. How do you do Robert Downey? How do you do George Clooney? You know,
I
do it now, Perry.
Yeah,
do it
at the same time.
Dance, little
drinking
monkey.
This water.
Yeah,
he's doing it, folks.
Okay.
So anyway, let's get to the stats so we make sure that people know about the show and people can secure their tickets for An Evening with Perry Lambert. Michael,
yes.
This will probably come a little more naturally to you. Would you like to
Certainly,
share
An Evening with Perry Lambert, indeed, at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City, Sunday, March 13th. Dinner seating between 5:30 and 6 p.m. Showtime, 7 p.m. And reservations are required, ladies and gentlemen, 818-754-8700. And for further information about the club and what's coming up, including Mr. Lambert and those performers beyond, please visit msapr.net and click on Sterling's at Vitello's, and all of that information will be there for you. So I'm so excited to have you come in, because long has this been that we've been planning this date with you,
Perry? I think since the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, something like that. He was a guest, actually, Paul, in another a contemporary of his, a very, very funny lady, Molly Brandenburg. And
Peggy
came
Judy.
Yes, in the Peggy Judy show, who played a her persona was a lounge singer. From work, just coming from the Howard Johnson's in Reno, direct to Sterling's.
That was her ex-husband.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't quite work out.
That's right. But
What's the favorite thing on the menu over there, Sterling? What would you say is the? I'm just curious, menu wise.
Have you dined
with you, so what would you say?
You know, it's Sicilian home cooked food.
Oh, beautiful.
So there's pretty much everything that you want there. Their lasagna is out of this world.
Hmm?
And if you like that kind of, Sicilian food, right?
It's great.
Paul's been there several times.
What?
He's also performed there.
Yes, I have. I performed in the kitchen, but they were very encouraging. they said I was a fool to dream.
You make a great sauce.
I went to culinary school, and I studied in Italy.
Yes.
And Pontedera.
I know you went to culinary school because you pronounced it correctly.
Well, I and I've done this at restaurants before, which I could do at your place. It's nice is to do a prefix and then serve an entree, and you have a three-piece, and you sing and perform something that has to do with that. They accompany the flight of wines, go back in the kitchen, bring out another one, some more music and dessert, and stand around and do it in a charitable to raise money for a charitable effort.
That's an amazing
what I've
idea.
Done.
Well, I know
really,
my
it
next
really
show.
Is a,
yeah.
well, it makes a for
idea.
A very nice evening, and people, they hopefully get their money's worth. But I mean, to really pick songs that fit the menu that you're doing,
absolutely,
and a flight of wine, it's a nice evening.
Hey, you can bring my girlfriend over; she's a sommelier.
There we go.
We're building the whole.
That.
And you can play the guy that goes. You know,
there
you go, Fritz Feld. You can stand in the front and go, this way.
This way. I don't want you.
Yes, exactly.
Whoa.
And you could play the other guy. It goes, I'm with him. Remember that guy? I'm with him.
Rex, would you just do me a
I'm
favor?
I'm with you, I think was it.
Would you please just do Walter Brennan as a waiter at the table?
Will you keep me in the right place? Just sort of walk this way. No, not that way. This way.
And I'll be the maitre d' of Frank Nelson.
Oh, no, not again. It's not that mad again, is he?
No, it's good. It's good. Vitello's is good old school Italian.
Is.
It's red sauce Italian. Good. It's
Listen, it's good enough for Los Angeles Magazine to name it best Italian restaurant and red sauce.
Beauty.
Really? Every year.
Red, beauty.
It's some good sauce.
I think we should announce now that we are doing the musical of Mikhail's Navy, the four of us, right?
We're
going to be. Yeah.
Get in the car. I could just scream. Get in the car.
That's my Phil Silvers.
Mikhail!
Yeah, that's Phil Silvers. We can throw that in, too.
But the thing is, the extent
Phil Silvers guest starring on Mikhail's Navy.
The extent of my Phil Silvers impersonation is the word car.
Get in the car.
That's all I got.
Well, we have not too much time left to get some more out of our guests, Paul. Their most embarrassing, perhaps awkward, perhaps unusual moments happening to them on stage during a performance.
Perry's got that glint.
I was doing a show called Pearly. I was a member of the Young Americans, and we were up in Petoskey, Michigan, that hotbed of lust. And they didn't have...
the magic that is Petoskey.
Of course. They didn't have monitors backstage. And they didn't have wings, so you had to stand in the hallway to do the show. Yeah, and I had to go to the lavatory. So I'm going to the laboratory, and I'm playing Old Captain, and somebody's running down the hall. Lambert, where the hell are you? Where the hell? And I go, you're missing your cue. And the cue line was, damn, damn, double damn, Old Captain. So they start going on, well, damn you for double damning Old Captain. Well, damn you for double damning me for double damning Old Captain. Well, damn you for double damning me for double damning Old Captain. And they push me out on stage, and I go, I say, somebody's been calling my name. And the lead actress turns around and says, yeah, we've been calling it for a long time. So the orchestra goes, but I have to die standing up. I go, Pearly Victorious Judson, oh, no, and I freeze. Well, I have to freeze downstage right, and there was somebody in the audience who had seen the show before about a million times, and she looks up to me and mouths, "You missed your cue," and I have to be frozen, and I'm looking at her.
Audience member.
Yeah, and I'm looking at her for about 15 minutes while the rest of the show's going on, and I'm supposed to be dead, and it's like, "Well, screw you, lady, I didn't know."
Wait, you had to die standing up, and then stay there?
Stay there frozen. While
you
this
died
lady...
twice that night.
Yes, exactly.
You only die twice.
Exactly.
That's the name of your book.
I love the fact that you used the word lavatory in that story. Because who
uses
that
word? Because he was in Poughkeepsie or whatever.
Because
you
I'm
can't
from
say
Michigan.
The word. It's against the law.
I'm that's from right. Michigan. That's how we pronounce it.
I love that.
Lavatory. I say that now. I do that now, and people look at you, and they go, and then I have to go, toilet? They go, oh, right over there.
Really?
Great. The water closet.
Rex Smith, you're up on your story here.
I had a dog for 16 years. His name was Palomine DuPont Smith, and he was a glorified pit bull. He was a Staffordshire Terrier. Great dog. Went everywhere with me. I was doing the Pirate's Penzance at, what was the name of the theater back then? It's the Gershwin now, I think. I don't know. They've changed all the names. I feel like the Frozen Man. I go to Broadway. I go, where's the Royale? Where's Martin Beck? They're not there anymore. They're named after people. But full house. It's 5 before the show, and nobody can find my dog. And so everybody's on a search through the theater. And then just a minute before the overture, Pal comes walking back in and gets on the sofa in my dressing room. I go, okay, we can go on now. So we're on a rake stage, and there was no, you know, the set was just a hand-painted floor. And Pal had found himself to center stage before the show and relieved himself. So I had to, you know, Frederick's out there for the whole first act. I had to sort of try to do the best. I had to sort of clear the stage with my boot. There's 15 girls, maidens, that have to kneel down, and they were giving me the looks of, like, death while I was doing that. But what can you do? It was Broadway, and it was just a... There's a whole episode. You know, you can read some interesting things. There's a book called Free for All about Joe Papp and the Shakespeare Festival, and there's a chapter on pirates that's really got some great stories in it. But that wasn't in the book. I didn't make it. That's not even going to be in my book.
That is something. You know, a client of mine, Rex, Andy Gibb, went into that show, not on Broadway, but here in Los Angeles, did it at the Amundsen Theater, and then in Toronto at the... Royale there, and went on to do it in some other places. I didn't get to see you in that, but as I referenced earlier, you were in Grand Hotel. What an amazing show that was.
Yeah, but as far as Andy goes, you know, he did that thing, and then I replaced him in Solid Gold.
Yes.
So Andy, you know, poor guy had a lot of problems that he was working through. Yeah. You know, two different ways of getting high. He was in Malibu, you know, locked in a bathroom, and I got my pilot's license when I was doing the show. So... we had a lot of parallels, he and I, and when he passed away, I remember I was walking Pal, and I had a young daughter that was just maybe 6 months old, and I walked into my living room. She was in that little crib you move around the house, you know, like playpen, and I was just thinking, two guys on a parallel paths, you know? That's a long time ago. So he was a dear, dear young man, and I felt terrible about, you know, events. You know, it's hard to be the little brother in some
things. Yeah, it was a rough go for him. He was a sweet, sweet boy with a very
really, really
big heart.
Gentle and polite and wonderful guy. Grand Hotel. Grand Hotel was, you know, I think it was, you know, the parabola of, you know, musicals in New York being written where every song advanced the show and everything. I think Grand Hotel was... really, maybe not the apex, but, you know, there's been a decline in that and an advance in the jukebox musical thing. You know, like, let's do, you know, how are we going to get to Blue Suede Shoes? Well, he steps in a bucket of paint, and then we're there. Okay, no problem. 15 people in a room devising a show.
It's not a review, damn it. It's not a review. It's a play.
Yeah, Grand Hotel was took the cast and the audience on a journey. They really did.
Very
it was
powerful.
A lot of work. There were one thing that was, you know, there was these monkey bars I had to do that were probably about 18 feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to race motorcycles. I had my hand rebuilt, and I have, you know, sort of a Frankenstein scar here. Unbeknownst to me, this hand will not hold on to a monkey bar. Who does monkey? When's the last time you did monkey bars? You know, you get a job, they go do the monkey bars. So the music's like, dun, 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 dun. I'm swinging, and just as I'm swinging, there's a couple, a tango couple, I'm swinging. Now I'm horizontal 18 feet in the air, and my hand just lets go. And I fell on the stage. I remember it was like an Alfred Hitchcock when the camera lens, you know, it's, everything's moving backwards and forwards the same way. I looked up at the waltzers, and they just like whirled out of the way. I bounced on stage. Audience, like, whoa, what an effect. That's great. How do they do that? You know,
on my back.
So my back. For 6 weeks, I couldn't walk. But I finished the show, but there was a thing where I had to, you know, get on the chaise lounge and make love to Elisabetta. But I couldn't do it, so all I did was go to the... She was lounged out and waiting for me, and I went to the head of it, where her head was resting behind it, and just kind of got on my knees and patted the top of her head. That was the love scene. At the end of the show, everybody bowed. I was unable to bow because I couldn't move. So Ben Vereen was there. I'm in my dressing room, like, screaming on the floor, going, hey, is there a doctor in the house? And there was a doctor in the house. Guy had had a back operation, so he helped me out. But Ben Vereen comes to my dressing room. He goes, man, I've been to some shows, and I've seen this stuff, but I've never seen anybody stand there and let everybody take a bow while you just stand there, center stage. I was going, Ben, I can't move. I just,
what an egotist.
But he was going, you just topped it all. I never saw anything like that. So I guess all the, you know, 1,000 other people assumed that I was the great egotist.
Well, we have come to the end of our time here, Paul. No. But ladies and gentlemen, don't miss Mr. Rexsmith in the Cradle will rock at the Stella Adler Theater through March 20th. Once again, tickets may be purchased 323-661-9827 or online at the Blank Theater Company's website, theblank.com.
And also An Evening with Perry Lambert.
Yes, thank you,
Sunday,
Paul.
March 13th. That's at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's. And the reservation number there is 818-754-8700. Michael, tell them who we have next week.
Yes, I will do that. Joining us next week, we have in-studio guest with us, Robert Bucher, who is the executive director of the all-new, gorgeous, $125 million Valley Performing Arts Center in Northridge, and Mackenzie Aston, star of the hit play Caught at the Zephyr Theater in Hollywood.
And also next week, the first in our new series of regional spotlights, where friends of State of the Arts chime in about great regional venues and productions from across this great land of ours. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
Indeed.
It's been great. I've enjoyed sharing time with you as well.
Rex and I actually were at a party a couple of years ago. Of course, he doesn't remember that, but...
I don't remember any party.
I remember that.
It's my criteria for going to a party. I don't go unless I can't remember. It's the Charlie McSheen in me.
Okay. We got to go. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you all next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.